So that's wonderful. But then his wife needed emergency surgery, and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared. And the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works. And it's so easy to get your questions answered, too. So why not? You can call right now. 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE. 833-39-BIBLE.
Ford is the latest car maker to reach an airbag settlement with the feds. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more on the story.
Ford owners will share $299 million the carmaker will pay to settle federal lawsuits over faulty Takata airbags. Ford agreed to the settlement filed in Miami federal court. The money's to reimburse owners for their expenses, waiting for fixes to their cars, and for loaner vehicles for vehicles that can't be driven until the airbags are replaced. Toyota, BMW, Mazda, Subaru, and Nissan have all previously reached similar settlements over those airbags.
The Trump administration said it's pushing to let consumers purchase more medicines without a prescription, arguing that better labeling and processes that let patients self-select drugs can work safely. FDA Administrator Scott Gottlieb said expanding over-the-counter drugs will likely drive down the cost and empower consumers by giving them more choices. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay. So why am I currently skipping stones with four locals and one grizzly bear outside this Riverside Lodge in Portland? Because Hotels.com lets me do me. And because, honestly, the bear just kind of joined in, and now we're afraid that if we stop, he'll get angry. He can smell our fear. Hotels.com. You do you, and get rewarded.
Bill Browder is the CEO of Hermitage Capital and an anti-Kremlin activist. Now, he found himself a prime target of Russian President Vladimir Putin yesterday. Putin said he would facilitate an interview with the 12 Russian intelligence officers indicted by Special Counsel Robert Mueller in exchange for questioning of Bill Browder. Here's exactly what Putin said yesterday.
We can bring up the Mr. Browder in this particular case. Business associates of Mr. Browder have earned over $1.5 billion in Russia. They never paid any taxes, neither in Russia nor in the United States. And yet the money escaped the country. They were transferred to the United States.
Browder was asked on Fox Business what it was like to be called out by the Russian president.
Well, first of all, I wasn't watching the press conference, but all of a sudden my phone started burning up with messages. And when I saw what he said, my first reaction was that, wow, I've really gotten underneath Vladimir Putin's skin. The Magnitsky Act, this legislation to punish Putin cronies for the murder of my lawyer and other human rights violations, has really upset Vladimir Putin, so much so that he's ready to make it a primary topic in a summit with the most important and powerful man in the free world.
That audio, courtesy of Fox Business, and Browder has long been a thorn in Putin's side. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Welcome to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. I'm here every Tuesday afternoon, or almost every Tuesday. Sometimes we have a rewind when I'm not here. But I own Rushmore Mentoring Group. The host of this program is called Teachable Moments in Business because I have a real thing about helping business owners to develop a program and a game plan so that they'll be able to achieve their results for profitability and for sustaining their businesses. So over the last couple of years where I've been hosting here, I've interviewed quite a number of people, all of whom have shared wonderful information that help people become successful. So it's always important to have a pencil and paper handy when you're listening to this program or perhaps watching it on YouTube. If you would like to be interviewed on the program or if there are topics that you would like us to cover, please, by all means, let me know. I can give you my email address as well as my phone number. The email would be V as in Vicki, V Morgan, MORGAN, at Russmore, RussMore.com. You can call me at my office, which is 908-832-9544. If I don't answer, leave a message. I'll call you right back. But please think about sharing your ideas or asking for some assistance on topics, because that's what business is all about today. It's all about helping other people. And frankly, this is the place that you need to come when you're looking for ideas that will help you. It doesn't make any difference if you are a startup entrepreneur, if you're an employee of a company, or if you are an established entrepreneur, a small business owner, big company. It doesn't make any difference. There's information that is very, very highly important for all of us to, and I guarantee you'll have a takeaway from every one of the programs that I conduct here. That's guaranteed. So it's every Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Now today I came up with a list of topics that I wanted to cover, but something I've become aware of something that I wanted to share with you. And ironically, I just happened to have found an article entitled "Building a Culture of Success for Your Company." So I'm going to share with you my thoughts before I get into this article. And by the way, the article was written by Jean Gray, who I've known for quite a long time. I haven't seen her lately, but I've known her for a long time. And she is publisher of American Entrepreneurship Today. And she has been really a passionate advocate for business owners. And over the years, she's had websites. One time she sent several of her colleagues to host a panel discussion for one of the networking groups that I was running. And again, she's always there helping other people. And that, too, is my goal, is to give advice and support and help to people so that they're successful in reaching their goals. So before I start into my, I call it my soapbox, you could call it a rant perhaps, but before I start, I want to we have a message from one of our sponsors, and we'll take a look at the weather. So bear with me here.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
So today is July 17th. Can you believe it's that late in the year already? We're over half the year has gone already. What's happened in your life that has made it go so quickly? Now, according to the weather reports, the weather actually was at about 91 degrees, and I think it was pretty warm earlier this afternoon. But right now it's about 307, so it's cooling off because I looked outside a few moments ago and it was raining. So the weather temperature right now is about 73 degrees, and of course the weather reporters had promised that we'd have about a 90% precipitation, which is exactly true. So we're looking at scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, and there may be some damaging winds along the way. And later on tonight, it will be partly to mostly cloudy skies with scattered thunderstorms during the evening with a low of 62 degrees, so you'll sleep nicely tonight, and winds will be light and variable. Now, tomorrow, on Wednesday, we're looking at sunny with a high near 85, and I believe tomorrow is going to be a really nice day. So if we have a chance, we'll come back to an extended weather forecast, and we'll talk about what to anticipate the rest of the week. Now, that said, I have been an advisor and a coach and a mentor to literally, I don't know, hundreds, thousands of business owners for about 20 years. And I always find it interesting to meet folks that need help. And there are a lot of different elements that they are concerned about. And I try to zero in on them in order for them to achieve their goals. Now, I've become aware of a company that has a number of leaders in its organization. And one of those leaders is essentially a control freak. He has to be in charge, and he has put himself to be the face of that company and over and above other people in that company. Well, it turns out that leader has violated some serious laws, and in fact, the information about his conviction, and he actually went to jail for a couple months. It turns out that information is all over the Internet. And for some reason, he wasn't concerned about that information tarnishing the organization, but it does. So when somebody, a brand is a promise. It's how a company functions. It's their culture of the organization, how they treat people. It's the name, the logo. It's all of those things. But there's also a brand identity. So when somebody sees that company or sees somebody from that company, someone hears about them, they may think back to, well, I saw information about somebody from that company. Is that tarnishing the culture of that company? So today you have to be very concerned about what's online. It's not all the information is not going to go away. In fact, today people do multiple searches before they even do business with somebody. So you have to not only be aware of the importance of projecting a trustworthy brand identity, is how you walk the talk, all of that, but how that brand identity will affect your audience, whether it's the audience within the company as well as the audience outside of the company looking in. And the identity, you do not own your brand identity. It's the minds of the beholder. Your competition, your detractors can shed a negative light on you and you don't even realize it. And when that happens, the company that, in this case, that person works for, may be tarnished. What about contracts? What about attracting new customers? What about keeping the ones that you have? All of these things may be affected when a leader in the company does not maintain a high position of morality and trust and supportiveness among all of the people that he works with. So remember, you don't own your identity. You own your brand. It's important that you control it and be very clear with everybody that you work with that they be aware of the importance of taking the high road, essentially. But the identity can be tarnished by someone either within the company or from outside the company that could damage, ultimately, the reputation of a company. So the moral of this story, and I'm going to go on and share this article with you about building a culture of success in your company, because this can apply to anybody in any walk of life, whether it's a business, it's a nonprofit organization, it's a club, it could be a sports team, it could be any of these things that we need to be aware of, to be above board, do your best, build trust, support other people, engage other people to a point that they feel good about working with you. And in this way, yeah, the company is not going to ever be penalized, and it will definitely help to avoid any conflicts within the organization, and the trust will be good inside the business, and it will be good outside the business by those looking into it. So I'm going to go on to a couple of messages for you, and I'm going to launch into my article that was written by Jean Gray, and she did a great job on this article, which was just written on June 22nd, 2018. So fascinating. So bear with me, and we're going to go on to some messages, and I'll be back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon on Teachable Moments in Business. And I'm going to read an article. I'm sorry I have to read this. I'll maybe interject some ideas along the way. Depends on how this goes. But the article was written by Jean Gray, who's a publisher of American Entrepreneurship Today. And the title of this is Building a Culture of Success in Your Company. Now, this article can pertain to a large corporation, a small company, a startup. It can apply to a nonprofit organization, to a club, to any kind of organization. And there are tips in here. You'll have to imagine how what I'm saying and sharing with you in this article may apply to you. But it's all about everyone in an organization being on the same page and being supportive of one another in order to maintain the brand identity that you want that organization to have in the eyes of not only the people in the business but outside of it. So from the people looking from the outside in. So I'm going to read this article, so bear with me on this. I hope you'll enjoy this because it is such a wonderful article. And here it goes. Entrepreneurs and small business owners who are in the early stages of building their support team of staff and workers often do not realize that they are in the early stages of creating the culture of their company, something that may have long-term implications for their success depending upon the choices they make. What do we mean by culture? Culture, as defined in Wikipedia, encompasses values and behaviors that contribute to the unique social and psychological environment of an organization. I'm going to read that again. Culture. It encompasses values and behaviors that contribute to the unique social and psychological environment of an organization. The founding entrepreneur, in his or her leadership role, is the primary driver of a startup's value and interpersonal day-to-day behaviors. Now, mind you, we don't have to be a startup to pay attention. This applies to anybody. It just so happens that she's talking about startups. They establish a tone for the workings and of the company, as well as setting its priorities. As new workers come on board, they look toward the founder for guidance, observing how clients are served, how colleagues treat each other, and what professional standards they must meet. Now, when we say as new workers come aboard, it could be members of the organization that come aboard. So you can take this information and apply it to the situation that you may be in. In a healthy company culture, individuals establish constructive bonds that add to teamwork and the cohesiveness of the company in support of its mission. They work collectively to accomplish goals that they alone are unable to attain. A startup gains great momentum when the successes of the team begin to exceed the successes of the individual. So in other words, it's not the individual here, it's the team effort that means so much. We're not relying on one individual to be the sole leader, to be the end all, to be the person that we kowtow to. It has to be a team that works together. in order to achieve success. So how does an entrepreneur create a culture of success in his or her business, organization, team, so forth? It begins with knowing themselves, being aware of their own values and behavior, and affirming those values and behaviors that are consistent with being a leader. Self-awareness is considered a key leadership skill that enables managers to understand how their actions influence others. This is critical in determining the nature and the quality of the individuals who they hire to follow them or who may join, which in aggregate forms the business culture, positively or negatively. So where does your organization want to be? It's all about top down. It's all about top down. Whoever is the founder of a business or an organization, whoever is the top team leader, the president of the organization, it all starts at the top, and everything has to be positive and not negative. Otherwise, it infiltrates the rest of the organization, and it can become very, very. And by the same token, members of that organization, if they have to be supportive, very supportive. Jim Collins' book entitled Good to Great explored the elements that contribute to great performing companies that distinguish them from good performing companies. Collins identified common characteristics of the leaders of great performing companies. This included a common approach of not just justifying the right people, but also removing the wrong people and then making sure the right people are in the right company positions. He also offered several other insights about the cultures of high-performing companies. So if you have a chance to read Good to Great, written by Jim Collins, that may be very helpful to you and the members of your team and your company. Derek Lido's book entitled Startup Leadership focuses on the leadership skills that entrepreneurs can learn and apply in each stage of their venture. He offers ways for entrepreneurs to assess their own skills, create a personal strategy that plays on strengths and mitigates weaknesses. He delves into how these skills can be used to build the teams that make a venture successful. Think about it. So, Lou, what are the leadership skills of the leader as well as those people who are in the organization? From the investor point of view, entrepreneurs who have prior leadership experience are greatly valued. Investors prefer not to fund an entrepreneur's learning curve in as many areas as possible. They want an entrepreneur with honed managerial skills who has the experience of building a team and making first hires that they feel will put the startup's nascent culture in a firm direction. So you may not be a startup, but what are you and your colleagues doing to build a strong, firm foundation in the culture of that organization? The Harvard Business Review published an article by John Coleman entitled Six Components of a Great Corporate Culture. In this article, the author identifies six components of a corporate culture that differentiates from others that offer the greater chance for sustainable success. The components are vision, values, practices, people, narrative, and place. The author sees these as foundational components for creating a sustainable culture, while noting that there are actually more than six of these. In summary, here are statements about each one of those. Vision is articulated through the venture's mission statement, according to Coleman. Entrepreneurs are encouraged to put in writing key aspects of their business plan that help them to determine the purpose of the venture, drawing out of them their priorities and values. Values are seen as the foundation of an organization. They provide the guidelines for the behavior and mindset needed to achieve the vision, such as how clients are served, and that could be members instead of clients, how colleagues treat each other, very important because people watch the interaction of people within an organization, and if professional standards are upheld. Now, the next one would be practices, which deal with the operating principles of daily life in the firm or the organization or the club, whatever, according to Coleman. Values and activities that reflect them need to be affirmed in ways that embed them in the organization. It is people who develop and foster a coherent culture that is critical to success, embracing and sharing those values. Building on this is the narrative. It's the storyline that shows the consistency of vision and values that over time reinforces to people what they are building on, that they're building on the work of others. A constructive and rich history of culture is seen as a critical element in the successful building of large corporations and organizations in the long run. Could be small corporations, small companies, LLCs, all of that. Today, companies such as Apple and Uber are viewed in this light. The former is more is viewed as more positively. That's their brand identity. But the latter, Uber, sometimes is viewed as being negative, even though they're a big company. So the question is, where do you want your organization to be? And can you muster the forces to work together to build that culture and that positivity within the organization? Because that attracts supporters from the outside. I'm going to move on to a few more messages here and take a news break. And then I think I'm going to come back to finish this article.
USA Radio News.
Today's Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, held his weekly press conference. The Speaker was asked about President Trump's news conference with Russian President Vladimir Putin.
I understand the desire and the need to have good relations. That's perfectly reasonable. But Russia is a menacing government that does not share our interests, and it does not share our values. And I think that should be made very, very clear.
President Trump sat down with Fox News host Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson. With Carlson, one thing he addressed was the border problem.
The Democrats want open borders, which is basically saying we want open borders, we want crime.
Why do you think they want that?
Maybe it's a political philosophy that they grew up with. Maybe they learned it at school. Maybe they're fools. I don't know.
A short time ago at the White House, President Trump did say that he accepts our intelligence community's conclusion that meddling did take place in the 2016 presidential election. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay.
Hey!
So why am I outside my beachfront suite, aimlessly leading a 40-guest conga through the streets of Myrtle Beach?
Hey!
Because Hotels.com lets me do me.
Hey!
And because once you start a conga, apparently it's impossible to stop.
Hey!
I have no idea where I'm leading these people. Hey! Hotels.com. You do you and get rewarded.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan. This is host. I'm hosting this program, Teachable Moments in Business, which is on every Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, this program is also it's archived on my Teachable Moments in Business Facebook page. It's also archived on the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. If you go to their website, you'll see a link to the podcast, which is what this is. And you can see an archive that shows all of the hosts and the programs that they've conducted over the last couple years. And I can tell you that there is so much information that you would really enjoy hearing and learning from when you go to the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, which is sponsoring this program. This is really the voice of business in Hunterdon County, but our programs are actually listened to from all over the country. So if you have listened to this and you found a program that you really like, please pass along the word to your friends and your colleagues, and I guarantee you there will be wonderful takeaways. Now, in the article that I've been sharing with you that was written by Jean Gray, she talks about the several authors of books that are very informative, one of which is the book entitled Startup Leadership, written by Derek Liddow, L-I-D-O-W. And he talks about the importance of several key factors in a that make a business successful. And that could be an organization, it can be a team, it can be a nonprofit, it doesn't make any, it could be a club, it doesn't make any difference what it is, but these are important factors. One is vision, practices, the people, the narrative, and the place. So finishing up on the article where he talks about place, that Coleman asserts that helps to shape the culture through the surroundings where it exists. This can be as broad as a region of a city, such as Silicon Valley, for example, or as narrow and as interior as the interior work environment, such as today's open work spaces that are intended to spur collaboration. Within a club organization, it might be the grounds, it might be the clubhouse, but where activities take place have to have really reflect the culture of the organization. Now, he says a startup size is clearly different from that of a corporation, but the fundamentals of culture in this article still apply. So it's the fundamentals of culture that we're looking for. For the first-time entrepreneur or for those who have not had managerial experience, the first steps of building their team and setting the right culture for success may be a new and difficult challenge. However, entrepreneurship today is much studied, presenting many more avenues of support than ever before. Entrepreneurs and small business owners today have ready access to thought leaders who share their insight and best practices in books and articles. Infrastructure now also exists in the entrepreneurial communities, such as nonprofit entrepreneurial organizations, accelerators, incubators, and more. Entrepreneurs and small business owners are encouraged to network to find the best resources available to them. This approach of wanting the best can then be consistently applied within their company or organization or team or club, putting them on track to have a culture of success. Isn't that what you want in the business that you're working in? Every member on the team has to have the right mindset. They have to work together. And in that process, they're building trust, they're building a camaraderie, and the people within the organization will enjoy that organization, will gain tremendous benefits from it, but outsiders looking in will be attracted to it. And isn't that what you want? It's got to be a win-win for everybody in an organization. So I hope that this article has been helpful in terms of getting you to think more about who you are, where you are, and how the way you function benefits the organization that you're connected with. So really, really important. I love that article. I'm going to be sending it to a few people that I know, and maybe it will help them as well. So let's see where we are with our time. So I wanted to go on to take a look at an article that I received from a company called BB Print Buzz, or BB Print. They're a printing company. And they have some really good information on, I need to put my glasses on because I hear some thunder outside. I don't know if you can hear it, but I got to put my glasses on so I can read the small print. But it's all about articles that are written that engage your customers. Now, content, we often hear about content marketing. So this article is entitled Content is King. In other words, you want to engage your customers and essentially you want them to knock on your door. You want to keep customers. It's cheaper to keep a customer than it is to find a new one, first of all. You want to keep them engaged. You want to educate them. You want to give them reasons to want to continue doing business with you. In fact, when I teach marketing classes, one of the things I tell my students is that marketing gives people reasons to do business with you, but even more important, it validates the decision they made to do business with you. So you can do that by engaging them with information that's valuable to them. So again, I'm going to have to read this because I can't memorize all this, but I'll probably give you a few sidebar comments. So it goes initially here, amid the ongoing debate about whether direct mail or email or social media is the best method to market to customers and prospects, very little is being said about the one thing that is crucial to the success of each, the message. Unless the message is relevant to the audience and persuasively presented, it doesn't matter how it is delivered. So while the discussion about the delivery method continues, focus on developing good content and honing your writing skills. Now, when I talk to a client about what they've written either on a website or in a brochure, I stress the importance that the information they're presenting has to be customer-driven. In other words, the writer is acknowledging the problem that people have and showing empathy for those problems and then offering services or products that may address the problems that the people have. But keep in mind, people don't buy what you do. They buy the end result. They buy the benefits. Now, why market with mail? The objective of direct marketing is to persuade a customer or prospect to take action either now or later. So that's a call to action. I can tell you that so many articles that I read online or in handouts or brochures, sell sheets, they're always about we do this and we do that. But they don't say when you call this number, you're going to gain some more information that will be exciting for you, or you can enter a contest, or you can download an article, a white paper that would be valuable whatever it is that you do. When a seller consistently and regularly sends a communication such as a postcard or a newsletter, either mailed or web-based, a buyer is more likely at a future time to take the action required by the seller. In other words, marketing is less about an immediate sale and sale than about positioning the business and organization to the top of mind when the potential buyer is ready to make a purchase. So keep that in mind. You have to reach the top of the mind, and that messaging has to be consistent, because if somebody doesn't need you today, the question is whether or not you're going to be at top of the mind when they do need whatever the product or service is that you offer. It's important in business-to-business selling, where the sell cycle is often long, especially when compared to business-to-consumer, and it is hard to stimulate demand. Direct mail is also important during an economic downturn, when either budgetary constraints or the unwillingness of the purchaser to spend money creates a long sell cycle for both businesses and consumers. Now, I also want to tell you that in a downturn economy, you have to market. Now, people will say to you, well, people aren't spending any money right now, so therefore I'm not going to do any marketing outreach, whether it's, and I always, as a guerrilla coach, I'm suggesting that people use the approach of low-cost, no-cost marketing outreach, which means using social media, press releases, being a speaker, joining organizations where you can meet people. Those are very not costly, as opposed to running fancy advertisements, which are very costly. And in fact, advertising's not doing all that well nowadays, depending upon the publication that you're going into. So anyway, but in a good economy, that's when you go out and you sell. So in a downturn economy, you market to keep your name fresh in the minds of people, and then you'll have the opportunities to make sales when there's a turnaround in the economy. So going on to this article, good content gives potential buyers what they want. Direct mail marketers and advertisers work hard to determine what type of content motivates buyers. Research consistently uncovers four characteristics of content that score highly in buyer interest. The first content is useful or entertaining. Second one is relevant to the buyer's interests. Third one has to be timely. And fourth is unique to the seller, either in content or presentation. So here we're suggesting that you're being engaging, interesting, fascinating. You're creating a wonderful experience, whether it's online or in person, and you're acknowledging what their concerns are. And it's something that's going to be unique to the service provider, the seller, and so that it really draws attention. Today, if you don't differentiate your business, and we all have competition out there, who needs you? So uniqueness and developing a strong identity in a niche is important. These four characteristics apply not only to traditional direct mail, but also to opt in email subscriptions and social media. If a reader signs up for your e-newsletter or follows you on social media, the motivation isn't to do you a favor. It's because the content of the newsletter or email or site has perceived value. And of course, you want them to pass along so you get word of mouth. For most businesses and organizations, the purpose of communicating with potential buyers is to generate new business, encourage repeat business, promote customer loyalty. So those are three critical concerns that we as a business owner should have, and that is generate new business, encourage repeat business because we don't want to lose our customers, and to promote customer loyalty. Not satisfaction, loyalty. Satisfaction doesn't go very far. In fact, statistically, you can't depend upon a satisfied customer for coming back. You can't depend upon them giving you positive word of mouth. They're not going to support you. In the end, they may be fickle. But those who are loyal, because you've done something special for them, you've given them reasons to come back, they will give you the referrals. They become evangelists for your business. So you're looking for customer loyalty. Accomplishing these goals can be done with content that describes a new product or service, explains a new way to use an existing product or service, provides a case study describing a problem and how a product or service provides a solution, and gives testimonials from satisfied customers. So this, again, is something that I talk to my clients about when I'm counseling. I want you to have case studies on your website. It can be real short and sweet. This was the problem, this is what we did to resolve it, and this is what the customer got. And keep in mind, it's all about the customer. I just don't like seeing websites and brochures that say, we do this and we do that. People want to see themselves in what you're writing. They want to say, gee, this company knows where I'm coming from. Also, it's important to have testimonials because people will read up about you. They go to so many websites, as I said earlier in my first monologue. People do research online. There's information out there that's never going to go away. What do you want people to see when they do searches on you? You want them to see positive stuff, not negative stuff. So going on, regardless of the specific content, there is one important question that all sales-related communication must answer. The question is from the perspective of the potential buyer. It's what's in it for me. You've heard of the WIFM, WIIFM. It's this station of the mind. So there are actually another question here. Is your content worth reading? So people say, what's in it for me? And if you're telling people we do this and we do that, they're not seeing themselves as being served by the solutions that you have to offer. So the benefit to the buyer must be apparent in whatever you are presenting. So be explicit. Use introductory phrases like what this means for you is, or this translates to, or the results are. Then provide objective evidence to support your benefits and your statement. So people, when they're talking to you in a one-on-one, they are looking at your website, they're looking at your brochures, they're saying to themselves, what's in it for me to do business with this company? If you can't answer that question, if you were counseling with me and I say, why should somebody do business with you? And you start saying, well, I do this and I do that. Wrong. It should start out, well, when people do business with our company, they get this and they get that. Important. Here's another one. Is your content worth reading? If you are in the early stages of implementing a newsletter or periodic communication with your customers or prospects, you may find yourself focusing on developing the mail list, gathering information about your company, and deciding on a layout. We agree that these are important. We also suggest that you also focus on developing content. Okay, now, to do this, you put yourself in the mind of your target audience. Develop a list of general topics to include on the regular basis, and think about where you can go to get good content. Are there credible sources within your company or organization who could be regular contributors? Can you subscribe to industry magazines as a source of research and statistics? There's a concept called consumer-generated media. If you see articles of information and you like what the information contains, and that information is in keeping with your business philosophy, ask permission to repeat it, to print it. Don't plagiarize it. Ask for permission to use it, and that would help to give you more credibility. Here's a list of ideas for regular features for your newsletter. A column written by an industry expert, perhaps a key individual in your organization. A Q&A column about covering frequently asked questions or questions submitted by readers. Here's another one. Tips and trips on how to use a product or service generated either by your staff or by your readers. Okay. It's a good idea. Ask your customers for ideas that you can share to your other customers. Focus on the industry, a synopsis of industry developments, trends, statistics, news, and upcoming events. Do you realize that many business owners don't realize that there are trade associations for their industries? And it boggles my mind that they haven't figured that out. Those organizations are resources of all kinds of information, like it says here, industry developments, trends, statistics, news, upcoming events, laws, whatever it might be. So become immersed in your industry. Find those trade associations or the associations that somehow get connected to you, either directly or indirectly. Then you've got maybe come up with a list yourself to say the top list or the 10 best this or that or the 6 top reasons for doing such and such. Those are all attention-getting articles that you can develop that would be in your distribution of newsletters. You can put them on your website. A key word in marketing today, I think, is to leverage. Take whatever tools you have. We're talking about tools here. And where can you put them? Can it go into a portfolio, a brochure? Can it be used in a presentation? Just think about it. There's so many things that you can use to help build your brand identity in the business and to build, you know, a positive brand in the minds of your audience. So another thing I have here is to emphasize good writing. Interesting, relevant, and timely content will have even more impact if well written. Good writing begins with the most important message. It's organized logically and is written in language that is easy to understand. In general, this means avoiding complicated sentence structure and keeping jargon to a minimum. In other words, speak at the level or write at the level of understanding of the people that you're communicating with. So you're educating your audience. You're helping them out. Very important. And I'm very concerned today about the younger generations and how well they write with all the texting and texting that's going on, all of the abbreviations of letters that represent several words in a row. That doesn't work. So I would suggest that if you have a young person, a Gen Z or a young millennial in your family, make sure that they're well educated on the communication skills and writing. So important. You also need to be a perfectionist when it comes to spelling and to follow generally accepted rules for grammar and punctuation. And I see big mistakes in that area. If there are several contributing writers in your company, consider developing a style guide that provides everyone with the same set of rules for grammar and punctuation. So here you're talking about consistency. Be consistent in your messaging. You can't be all over the place. There has to be a guideline for that consistency so that when somebody sees what's being said by members of your company, they know they all belong into the same firm. You might also want to appoint an editor who is responsible for proofreading and editing articles to be sure they have consistent style. So there we go. Your aim as a writer is to use language so it serves as a structural basis for your message, but is otherwise invisible. Readers are fickle and easily distracted, so if you have spelling mistakes in there, inconsistent punctuation, capitalization, and overly complicated sentence structure, and similar writing flaws, it means that your audience and your readers will pay more attention to those flaws rather than to the message that you are sharing with them. It's like noticing the mechanics of how something was constructed rather than enjoying the finished product. So keep that in mind. Good writing skills are critical. Then you can we're going to be finishing up here pretty soon. But I want to say, use design to stand apart. Once you have developed sources of good content and a communication style sheet, you are ready to make your direct mail or your email marketing piece stand apart from the competition by using innovative design. By consistently using standard design elements like a color palette, an underlying grid structure, and eye-catching graphics, you can create a unique look that will be easily recognized by your customers and prospects. In addition, good design will guide the reader through the content and increase comprehension. So here's a couple of thoughts. If you have a, make sure your logo is distinctive. It's on everything. I've seen brochures, business cards, and websites from one company and the three different ways that it's presented in terms of color and font. You have to be consistent. And when you're writing a brochure, for example, every white space doesn't have to be filled with words or pictures. White space counts for a lot. And use some bullet points in your articles, which helps to eliminate words and bullet points help to draw attention to important points that might be missed otherwise. Do remember that designing for print and designing for the web are different. Not only is the color space different, the RGB versus CMYK, and I don't know what that means, but fonts have behaved differently on a computer screen, and photo resolution requirements will differ. So I think having somebody who's skilled with graphics, who knows where the graphics are going to be used, that would be really important. So there you have some tips on Content is King by engaging your customers. So we're going to go on to some final messages from some of our sponsors, and I'll go to a conclusion. I hope that this program has been helpful to you, but let's go on here.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Well, we're coming down to the wire with Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. And I hope that this information that I've shared with you on building a culture of success in your organization and also content is king, in other words, tips for engaging your customers so they don't go away. I hope these have both been helpful to you. If you'd like copies of these, you can certainly let me know. You can contact me by calling 908-832-9544. You can send me an email at vmorgan@russmore.com. To go to the Facebook page, and this program will be on my Teachable Moments in Business Facebook page. It may be up there now. By the time I turn this off, it may be on. If not, I'll make sure it's up there today, later on today. And please don't hesitate to go to the Hunterdon Chamber's website to read what's on there. This is a great organization, and it's a very vibrant organization within the county, and we affect people from all areas of New Jersey. In fact, people from around the world do listen to many of these programs. So I hope you become a listener to my program as well as the other ones that are on the podcast listing online. And believe me, you'll be glad you do. Just make sure you have a pencil or a pen handy in order to take notes, and I guarantee you that you will gain great knowledge. So I also wanted to share with you the fact that I'm always looking for people to interview on this program. So if you would like to be interviewed, or you know someone who would enjoy being interviewed, please pass along your name to me. All I ask is that they give me the name, the several dates, several Tuesdays, and it can be any time from now through the end of the year. Give me a choice of dates. I'll choose one, and then I get back in touch with them with just a few details about the program, and I tell them what time to show up and get them acclimated to the, you know, the earphones and the speaker, and they get to be on the radio. And this is like free. This is free marketing, and that's what I'm all about. I want to give people those opportunities to get free exposure. Believe me, it is so helpful to do something like this. And these files can be captured, and then they can put it on their own website. They can send out the files so that other people can hear the interviews. So give some thought to all of that. It's a pretty good deal. So again, this is Teachable Moments in Business, and. There are a couple of quotes to share with you. It's one I like: all the world's a stage, but most of us are desperately unrehearsed. That's a really good quote. People do business with the names they know, and they like the names they know, or something like that. Let's see. Oh, and the one that I found yesterday is that people judge you by your company. So, and that goes for you individually. It goes for your own corporation. And I do hope that your success continues. If you would and like any more tips, or if you have questions about business, give me a call. I have no problem with that because I'm always looking to be helpful. So I wish you well. Have a good week. Tomorrow's going to be nice, and we'll see you next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Today at the White House, President Trump spoke about his summit and press conference held yesterday with Russian leader Vladimir Putin.
So I'll begin by stating that I have full faith and support for America's great intelligence agencies, always had. And I have felt very strongly that while Russia's actions had no impact at all on the outcome of the election, let me be totally clear in saying that, and I've said this many times, I accept our intelligence community's conclusion.
Former White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer also has some advice for President Trump.
If I'm the president, though, the other thing I would say is, why do you think I threw all those Russians out of the country and closed two consulates and sanctioned Russia? I have a track record on this issue. He should point back to some of the things he's done, but his rhetoric yesterday has really hurt his cause.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Ugh, you guys, I am so ready for the beach.
I'm not.
What? The trip is coming up soon.
Yeah, my beach body is nowhere close to where I want it to be.
Same here. I've got to lose some weight before we go.
Plus, I know you're going to want to post pictures from the trip all over Facebook.
Well, why don't you guys try Calitrin?
Calitrin? That sounds really familiar.
It's super easy to take, and it's even healthy for you. You just take it at bedtime, and it does all the work for you.
You're joking.
No, I'm not joking, and you're going to feel good taking it.
So I got the Calitrin.
toilet trend, and I got into pants that I had not been into in a year and a half. It also took my hot flashes away.
Hey, this is Jack, and I've been using Calitrin. I used to go to the chiropractor at least once a week. The Calitrin has definitely helped me, and I definitely recommend it to anybody.
This is Lynn. I've been on Calitrin, and I love it, and I've lost 45 pounds.
So where can I get Calitrin?
You can go to their website at toploss.com, or you can call them at 833-TOP-LOSS.
A former president makes his first public appearance in some time, as we hear from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
Speaking in Johannesburg, South Africa, former President Barack Obama says these are unsettling times.
And they are strange, and they are uncertain.
Also telling the crowd at an event marking the 100th birthday of civil rights icon Nelson Mandela, who died in 2013.
With each day's news cycles bringing more head-spinning and disturbing headlines.
In his remarks, Obama did not mention any U.S. politicians or elected officials by name. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The corporate owners of the Mandalay Bay Casino filed a suit against the victims of last year's Las Vegas concert.